used to seeing things that, in my opinion, aren't quite right in our treatment of animals.
Yeah, the less we eat, the less violence is being done, and the less destruction to the environment.
Everyone eats, and everyone has to make a moral decision every time that we sit down to the table.
Welcome to Animal Voices, Western Canada's only radio program dedicated to animal advocacy and compassionate living. This is 100.5 FM, Vancouver Co-op Radio in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, unceded Coast Salish territories. Today is Friday, October 12th, 2018. I'm your host, Elise Jacobson, and I'm joined here in the studio today by my co-host, Allison Cole. Hi, Allison, who is helping out our new control room operator in training, Carol Davies McIntosh.
Hi there.
Hi. Today's episode of Animal Voices is brought to you by Edible Planet, a Vancouver-based education campaign and TV series designed to teach people about the world's most powerful edible plants and the fascinating people who bring them to market. Food is the world's most powerful tool to share the wealth, help chronic illness, regreen the planet, and create lasting world peace today. Now is the time for a plant-based economy because on this big, beautiful, edible planet, the food we eat can change the world. Our featured guests today are Asha Wielden and Jessica Fife, the vegan chefs and entrepreneurs behind Kula Foods, a Vancouver-based business specializing in vegan African cuisine. We are lucky to have them here live in the studio with us, and we'll be speaking with them starting in about 20 minutes, so stay tuned. But first, Allison has a special announcement for us.
In the spirit of celebrating October birthdays, because there seem to be so many in my life, I wanted to give a special birthday wish to Matt, who has a birthday next week. Matt, I hope you are listening. And Matt and I share a favorite quote, which is attributed to Alice Walker. And it is, "Activism is my rent for living on the planet." I think this is a quote that we should all live by. And it certainly is a core theme of the show, I feel. And we'll be talking more about that throughout this show today. So happy birthday, Matt. But it doesn't just stop there. The day after, it's my mom's birthday next week. Happy birthday, Mom, who turns 75 next week. Wow. Without my mom, there would be no me and there would be no Animal Voices. So thank you, Mom, for being on this earth. So yeah, there's a few things that I wanted to chat about. And one of them is, you know, I've been learning recently, just this year, I've been listening to some of Colleen Patrick Goodrow's Food for Thought podcast this year. She has turned into a zero waste vegan. So you think, like, okay, some people go vegetarian and then some people go vegan. I've been vegan for like 12 years. It's like super, like, just like easy. I can do it in my sleep. You just don't think about anything. Like, it's just not hard, right? Once you acclimate to a lifestyle. Well, have you ever thought about acclimating to a lifestyle that takes even more thought, which is a zero waste lifestyle, right? So last week I attended a talk that was presented by Tasha Lobsinger. She is the founder of the Peace People Project, and she put on a talk called Zero Waste, Veganize Your Life. So those are two things that interested me. I'm like, oh, I'm vegan and I want to learn more about the zero waste lifestyle. She put on a very impressive and informative talk, and it was kind of a workshop as well. We made some stuff and talked to us about the issues to do with living in a society where we actually make so much waste, right? However, like, people usually don't think, like, we live in a convenience throwaway society where even living as a vegan, there's a lot of vegan products that come in packages, just like all vegan foods, right? And just products in general, like products that you use for your hair and soap and dish soap and all that stuff, right? Yeah. So zero waste is more about learning to kind of defy that part of our society and, like, say no to it, because there are other ways to live. And Tasha just really, like, opened up my eyes to more, like, I have been sort of learning more about this and trying to incorporate more of this into my life. And yeah, so zero waste essentially means just like you're not creating any garbage. That includes recycling, because when you're sending bottles and cans to the recycling plants to be smushed into metal and other plastic just to make more bottles and cans, that actually takes a lot of energy. And think about all the transport, think about all the water that it takes, all those resources. It's all those same resources that we're concerned about when we take on a vegan lifestyle, and we want to live more lightly on the earth because we care about animals and we care about our health and we care about the earth. If you care about your health, I've learned about, like, there's just so many toxic chemicals that are going into our water streams because of waste, and one of them is clothing. One fact that I learned is that 2 billion t-shirts are made and sold annually every year, and those are cotton t-shirts. There's a big problem with the cotton industry. The average American throws out 82 pounds of clothing per year, if you can believe that. I know that's not me. No. I might be donating 82 pounds of clothing a year, but I'm not just simply throwing it out. Like, that's so wasteful. Mm-hmm. But back to cotton. Cotton is carcinogenic. It goes into our air and our water. The industry is really bad for its employees, and one cotton farmer actually commits suicide every 30 minutes, which I was really surprised to hear about. So when we're really thinking about these issues, it's really not just about me here in North America, in Vancouver, or wherever you live on this earth. Everything is interconnected, and it's so important to acknowledge that. The animal agriculture industry, as we know from doing this show, is so interconnected. There's so many issues. Mm-hmm. There's issues with worker issues, like I've talked about. There's issues with, it's destroying the environment. If you've seen the film Cowspiracy, you'll know that 51% of greenhouse gases are produced from animal agriculture. And going vegan reduces your carbon footprint by 50%. So who wouldn't want to do that, right? So living a zero waste lifestyle and living a vegan lifestyle, those are two symbiotic things. Mm-hmm. Those are two things that just naturally go hand in hand together. And yeah, I just wanted to put a little plug out there for what Tasha's doing. Actually, if you want to learn more, there's a group that I just joined today. It's called Zero Waste Vegan Vancouver on Facebook, so you can learn more about things that they're doing there. And they actually have a zero waste potluck coming up next Tuesday, October the 16th at 5 p.m. at Kits Beach. You can find that online as well. And I feel like maybe I'm not qualified to go to that potluck yet because I really need to start cutting down. There's still things in plastic bags and paper containers, and yeah, I'm recycling everything, but I realized that's not enough. And Tasha taught us like a lot of tips. Like, we learned how to make our own oat milk, which cuts on packaging, but I've actually been doing that lately. Yay. Like, yeah, cool. It's really fun. And awesome. Yeah, and we learned how to make our own toothpaste, so you don't have to buy toothpaste from packaging, even if it's vegan. Wow. And yeah, I always hate throwing that out because it's just not recyclable whatsoever.
Yeah, for sure.
So just sort of to go into one other topic that I wanted to talk about, and just again, this is all interrelated. We have an event coming up on November the 4th. You may have heard us talk about it before. It's called, we affectionately call it as Dog Wab 5. And that is an acronym for the Day of Giving Within Arbitrary Borders. This was started last year on Canada Day by local activists and vegan activists as well. David Isbister, who makes the most delicious foods, if you've ever tried his foods. He runs the company Plant-Based Food Products, and he's doing a 50% sale today, by the way, for omnivores. Right. Did you see that? Omnivores get to try out David's amazing food at 400 Industrial Avenue today for half price. So this event was started as a response to Context Devoid Canada Day 150 celebrations last year that ignore marginalized groups and reinforce oppression, colonialism, and many other stigmatized phobias and judgment based on harms inflicted on our fellow humans. And what we do is we're not affiliated with any group. So people are always asking that, like, what group are you with? It's just really a bunch of concerned citizens. I would say we're probably probably all vegans. And again, we're, you know, we're recognizing that there are intersections in society that, because we're all connected, intersections in society that cross over into veganism. We here in Vancouver Co-op Radio, we're in the downtown east side, which is the core of the poorest area in Canada at all, where there's a lot of suffering going on here and a lot of drug addiction, and there's people in this area who are human beings just like you and I, and they do not have access to basic necessities that they need, including food. They don't have access to nutritious food. So what we do on our dog wab days is we spend the weekend in David's kitchen, his commercial kitchen, making amazing vegan food, several courses, 300 meals. So this is how you can contribute, and I'll be there. This is my birthday weekend, and I can't think of a better way to spend my birthday than to be serving those who need it more, like who are in need of help, right? That is sort of the point of being on this earth, if there is one, right? Mm-hmm. It's helping others. If you want to know how to take part, because if you are not available to cook that weekend, we also need people to actually go out during the day. Like, we'll be doing probably two gives during the day. What we do is we like set up this free store, we call it, and we have a long lineup of like all the toiletries and the socks and the water bottles and all of our food, and people go down the line and they take what they need, and they're always very grateful. And we do that at a couple of locations, and we do that on two trips during the day. So you can help with that on November 4th. You can help with the cooking beforehand. And then you can also help with cash donations and donations. I'm always asking my dentist for toothbrushes and toothpaste because people need that. And they're always so grateful. And I've been collecting water bottles from my work, and I will continue to do that again, because people really need those types of amenities that you and I take for granted, right? Mm-hmm. And it just like warms my heart to be able to see them eat actually some of the most amazingly delicious food that can be offered in the city, and it's free. So that's what I want to say, is we have a Facebook event posted to this on our Facebook page at Animal Voices Vancouver.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Allison.
The Community Radio Fund of Canada, CRFC, funding program The Radio Matrix was founded in 2012. It aims to improve local programming and volunteer participation. Since its inception, it enabled a total investment of more than $12 million in the campus and community radio sector. Vancouver Co-op Radio CFRO 100.5 FM is pleased to announce that almost $50,000 will go toward the implementation of the Youth Outreach Project. This is the 12th time that the CRFC provides financial support to Co-op Radio under various programs, bringing the total awarded to almost $263,000. The funds received will be put toward the recruitment of youth programmers to provide sustainable volunteer participation to CFRO radio show collectives. The Youth Outreach Coordinator will be responsible for developing and implementing online, on-air, and in-person volunteer recruitment strategies to attract a steady flow of new programmers to the station. For more information about Co-op Radio and the Youth Outreach Project, please visit coopradio.org.
We have some upcoming events. Friday, October the 12th, that's today, from 5:30 to 9 o'clock p.m., the Anonymous for the Voiceless group will be putting on one of their regular Cubes of Truth. This is happening at Robson Square. And you've probably heard us talk about this before. You might be wondering, what is it? Well, it's something that anyone can participate in who wants to do some outreach and speak up for the animals, but actually, you don't even actually have to speak at all if you're shy. So if you've ever seen these groups in Vancouver, they do them at all different places. They're lined up in a cube holding laptops and different like iPads and tablets and that, and sometimes a TV, and they're showing footage from factory farms, basically all the stuff that the animal agriculture industry doesn't want you to see. And they're wearing masks, so it draws people to the cube so that they can actually witness this. And then if you are the type of person that wants to talk to people, you can be one of the outreach people who are just standing there in the crowd, and then you're just saying to people who are watching, oh, have you ever seen anything like this before? It's a real good way, an effective way to get conversations started. And I know that the people at Anonymous for the Voiceless are changing a lot of hearts and minds by doing this. On Saturday, October the 13th, that's tomorrow, we have our weekly Saturday Chicken Vigil, which happens every Saturday morning, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. on the northeast corner of Hastings and Commercial. And yeah, this is Vancouver Chicken Save's weekly Chicken Vigil. They also are doing Chicken Vigils Tuesday mornings, where they have upped their activity and they're actually stopping the trucks that have chickens in them that are crammed on their way to slaughter. And they're doing this in a safe manner where we are able, the drivers are agreeing, they're supposed to agree to wait for 3 minutes. And I've seen a lot of video footage that my friends have taken, and they put this on the internet and it just spreads the message more widely of the dirty secret that people don't want you to know about, is these poor little chickens that are crammed in cages. They are barely 5 or 6 weeks old. They're babies. They're still sheeping. They've been genetically modified to grow at such a large weight that their feet can't even bear the weight of their body, so they're just stuck in these cages like big balls of fur and meat. That's what people have them for. So come to bear witness and say goodbye to the chickens before they go to slaughter. And then as a heads up, there's going to be a Chicken Vigil Week, which is happening on Monday, October the 22nd to Saturday, October the 27th. This is going to be happening every day, Monday to Friday from 7 till 9 a.m. at the same place, and Saturday from 7 to 11 p.m. So this is happening just one block down, actually, on the northwest corner of Hastings and Salisbury, and that's where the chicken trucks come in, so you'll be able to either take part in stopping of the trucks or witnessing the chickens before they meet their barbaric fate. So take a look on our Facebook page. I have that posted there, Animal Voices Vancouver. I also wanted to talk about a couple of other things. Well, Carol, why don't you talk about the Roaring Silence that's happening on October the 20th?
Sure. It's a silent march. The theme is it's silent because the voices of the animals are silent, and we are just marching in solidarity with them. It's going to be at noon on the Robson Street side of the Vancouver Art Gallery. We'll be meeting there. Signs are being provided. There are some umbrellas, but if it's raining, bring your own. And we'll see you there.
Awesome. And then I have time for maybe one more quick event. Let's see here. Thursday, October the 18th, the Vegan Fall Dance is happening. Yes, we are having a fall dance for vegans. Hope you're there. It's on a Thursday, 6 p.m. At the Wise Hall. And that's happening, for people who don't know who the Wise Hall is, it's in the Commercial Drive area, 1882 Adenach Street. Rhiannon is organizing this. And it's the first annual Vegan Fall Dance. If you remember the vegan proms that we used to have, those are fun.
Super fun.
Those are fun. So this is actually a fundraising event to support local animal rescuers in need of financial aid for their medical bills for their rescue companion. And this year's theme will be an 80s prom theme. So let me see, where do we get tickets from? So I'm going to post this up on our Facebook page within the hour, and you can find out how to get your tickets there. And I believe they're $45, and remember, that's a fundraiser for animal rescuers. If you want to support, or if you have any events that you would like to have announced on the show, animal-related events, please send them to radioanimalvoices@gmail.com, or you can post them on our Facebook page, Animal Voices Vancouver.
Salamata. Aizal, we Aizal, and a vegan, we vegan. I and I eat from the earth and need the animals to give birth. No deaders, no fur, no feathers. When I tell people I don't eat meat, fish, or dairy, then look for me strangely. Then I realize I eat a very wide variety. Listen to Maccabee. Yo, how when me eat, them I wonder when me eat. When me tell them, say me no eat no fish, nah, no meat now. How when me eat, them I wonder when me yum. When me tell them, say that I'm a vegan, man. How when me eat, them I wonder when me eat. When me tell them, say me no eat no fish, nah, no meat now. How when me eat, them I wonder when me yum. When me tell them, say that I'm a vegan. When me no eat no meat, no fish, no cheese, nah, no egg. Nothing with no foot, no eye, no wing, nah, no head. Nothing with no lip, no ears, no tongue, nah, no leg. Prefer fruit and vegetables instead. Me careful and me choose about what I'm eating. Me medicine, me food is me medicine. When me tell people that me no eat them, them they think. They look at me and scratch them chin and start wondering. How when me eat them, I wonder when me eat. When me tell them, say me no eat no fish, nah, no meat now. How when me eat them, I wonder when me yum. When me tell them, say that I'm a vegan. How when me eat them, I wonder when me eat. When me tell them, say me no eat no fish, nah, no meat now. How when me eat them, I wonder when me eat. You wanna hear what me eat? Yo! I eat callaloo, ackee, sweet potato, yam, banana, and tomato, cabbage, spinach, avocado, chocho, butter, bean, and cocoa, courgette, millet, plantain, rice, and peas, and pumpkin, mango, dates, and guava, chickpeas, and cassava, Brussels sprouts, and cauliflower, onion, fennel, and cucumber, plum, pear, and papaya, aubergine, and saya, lime, lentils, and quinoa, oatmeal, bread, and oatmeal flour, watercress, and okra, tofu, and sweet pepper, couscous, and carrot, broccoli, and coconut, peaches, apples, apricot, breadfruit, jackfruit, sour, sap, pistachios, cashews, and almonds, walnut, peanut, also pecan, sesame seeds, sunflower, lemon, orange, pineapple and melon, bogo wheat and garlic, kiwi corn and turnip, pacho and pomegranate, hijiki and rocket berries, cherries and strawberries, beetroot, grapefruit and celery. You see the meat's not necessary. We tell them say, how when me eat them, I wonder when me eat. When me tell them say, me no eat no fish, nah, no meat now. How when me eat them, I wonder when me yum. When me tell them say that I'm a vegan man. How when me eat them, I wonder when me eat. When me tell them say, me no eat no fish, nah, no meat now. How when me eat them, I wonder when me yum. When me tell them say that I'm a vegan. Hey, look how me big and me say, look how me strong. Some people can't believe that me a vegetarian. If you want a healthy body, check the real Rasta man. Cause Rasta man will tell you about the right nutrition. Me get me calcium, me sodium, me get potassium. Me get me zinc, me get me iron and me magnesium. Instead of yam, the fish me yam, what the fish yam. Like the kelp and Irish monster growing at the ocean. Me get me proteins and me minerals, me get me calories. The vitamins A, the B, the C, the D, the E, the F, the G. It sends up fatty acid like the omega 3. Me get me fiber and me carbohydrates in my body. Don't forget your water, drink a few glass a day. The toxins in your body, just flush them away. Some of the things you eat, stop in your body and decay. When it come to food, I don't play. We tell them, say, how when me eat them, I wonder when me eat. When me tell them, say, me no eat no fish, nah, no meat now. How when me eat them, I wonder when me yum. When me tell them, say, that I'm a vegan man. How when me eat them, I wonder when me eat. When me tell them, say, me no eat no fish, nah, no meat now. How when me eat them, I wonder when me yum. When me tell them, say, that I'm a vegan. A lot of people would have stopped eating the meat if they had to kill the animal before they could have eat. Look on the way the animal then get treat. Unsanitary condition where some of them keep it. We're supposed to eat the meat, we would have sharp teeth. You wouldn't need a knife and a fork, you know, see. You can't eat it raw, you have to cook it complete. And put on vegetable seasoning to make it taste sweet. How when me eat them, I wonder when me eat. When me tell them, say me no eat no fish, nah, no meat now. How when me eat them, I wonder when me yum. When me tell them, say that I'm a vegan man. How when me eat them, I wonder when me eat. When me tell them, say me no eat no fish, nah, no meat now. How when me eat them, I wonder when me yum. When me tell them, say that I'm a vegan. It's up to you. You can eat what you want to. You can be a vegetarian and be healthy too. There's a lot of choice around, many foods around you. Me just remember, some more I forget to tell you. The nectarines and tangerines and clementines and guanabana, lychee oats and ginger, kale and spirulina, mung beans, warm your pasta.
So we have some news for you. There was this big news story that came out this week that Elise sent to me, and there was a study done that the results just came out this week. Huge reductions in meat eating are essential to avoid dangerous climate change, according to the most comprehensive analysis yet of the food system's impact on the environment. And it says that in Western countries, beef consumption needs to actually fall by 90% and be replaced by five times more beans and pulses. So can you believe that? It's essentially calling for a large, steep shift towards veganism, or our planet is going to die out soon. We just don't have enough resources to keep feeding the 10 billion people on this planet, and it needs to happen in order to not destroy the planet's ability to feed people. So this new study follows the publication of a landmark UN report that came out this week, in which the world's leading scientists warn that there are just a dozen years in which to keep global warming under 1.5 degrees Celsius. Beyond even half a degree will significantly worsen the risk of drought, floods, and extreme heat. The report said eating less meat and dairy was important, but current trends were in the opposite direction. And this new research was published in the journal Nature. It's the most thorough to date and combined data from every country to assess the impact of food production on the global environment. And it also looked to see what could be done to stop the looming food crisis. So one of the lead researchers on the team, he said there's no magic bullet, but dietary and technological change on farms are two essential things, and hopefully they can be complemented by reduction in food lost and waste. And about a third of food produced today never reaches the table. So speaking of zero waste, right, that's something else that really needs to be targeted.
Yeah.
I really like that in France, they have mandated it now that grocery stores cannot throw their food waste in the garbage. It has to be diverted to people who need food. And that's the kind of action we need. That it might seem extreme, but it really isn't. It's just a way that actually makes sense, in which to run a society.
Yeah.
Reducing meat consumption might be achieved, they say, by a mix of education. Yes, that's what we're here for.
That's right.
Taxes. I don't disagree with that. Put a meat tax on. I mean, and then subsidies for plant-based foods. Why don't we remove the subsidies for meat and animal-based foods? Mm-hmm. Because, and like the dairy farmers of Canada, like those are the people who we actually need to take the subsidies from and apply them into a system that can actually sustain our earth.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, any thoughts, Elise, on that? It's a really big story. You sent it to me this week, and it's like saying, come on, you have to get on board and make some big changes now.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's kind of, I don't know, the article that I read said it was the most comprehensive analysis to date on this topic, which is amazing. I feel like it's really repeating what so many reports have said. It just is kind of the same thing over and over. You know, we absolutely have to drastically reduce meat and dairy consumption if we're going to meet climate change goals, right? And continue to have a habitable planet to live on. So I think it's pretty compelling. You know, I really hope that people will kind of start to wake up. I still see, I don't know, when you're foolish like me and you read the comments on these things, it's a little bit disheartening because there's so much denialism.
Bacon comment?
Yeah, or just like, oh, no.
Crazy.
If people just flat out like, oh, no, that's not true. You know, that there's these studies done by scientists who really know what they're doing, and these average people will just come in and be like, no, they're wrong, you know? So,
you know what? If you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem,
yeah.
And we will continue this at another time. Definitely needs to be discussed more.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Let's see. We have a minute. I'll just quickly touch on another story that is new this week. I was not aware that boroughs in New York have presidents, but apparently they do. And the president of Brooklyn, Eric Adams, is encouraging his community to adopt a plant-based diet for 10 days with the Jumpstart Your Health 10-Day Brooklyn Challenge. To kick off the challenge, Adams is hosting a vegan and veg curious meetup on November 5th in Brooklyn. He has been a vocal proponent of a plant-based diet since eschewing animal products in 2016 to improve his health after being diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. The 10-day challenge is the latest effort in his citywide advocacy, which has included holding public discussions on the value of veganism, championing a new plant-based medicine program at New York City's hospitals, and supporting an initiative that offers vegan lunch options at all New York City public schools. So that's Brooklyn Borough President Eric Adams, doing awesome work over there.
That's amazing. And let that be an example to all the municipalities here. I mean, we've got an election coming up soon. These are issues that should be raised and addressed.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's a great initiative. So, moving on, you're listening to Animal Voices here on 100.5 FM Vancouver Co-op Radio in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, unceded Coast Salish territories. And now, I'm very pleased to have here in the studio with me today, Asha Wheeldon and Jessica Fife of Kula Foods, a Vancouver-based company specializing in vegan African food. Welcome, Jessica and Asha. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
For sure. So first of all, tell me all about Kula Kitchen. What's the company about and what do you do?
Yeah, we make Afro-vegan food, and in a nutshell, that is just foods that derive from our heritage. Asha, being from Kenya, and myself having a background in Jamaican heritage as well. So it's foods that kind of under that umbrella that incorporate a little bit of our heritage, but also our values of having a plant-based and vegan lifestyle.
That's lovely. Super cool. And what kinds of things do you do? I know that you've had some pop-up, community dining events. and that sort of thing? Has that been sort of the main focus lately?
Yeah, for our first year, we started off with a pop-up through food truck. Where we spent a lot of our time this year was through our Vancouver and UBC farmers markets. So we wanted to be in front of our customers and be able to tell our stories behind the food, but also who we are and what we believe in.
Oh, cool. So you have like a table at the front.
Yeah, we have a booth, and so we rotate around through different markets and neighborhoods.
Cool.
And it's been one of the best things we've done. Really very supportive community.
Wow.
But again, being able to meet the people that are, you know, consuming our products, mm-hmm. but also be able to educate on what we produce.
Yeah. So the booth is like mainly informational, or do you sell food there?
We sell our foods through, again, predominantly Vancouver markets.
Okay.
And then we also have, you can also find our signature stew in a vegan supply for both locations.
Oh, lovely. And
we also, one of our close supporters is the Juice Truck. And so we host these community dining events that allows us to bring all the foods that we love, mm-hmm. And get, you know, our community together.
Awesome.
And enjoy. And so lots of different places you can find us right now, but this is what we wanted to do for our first year.
That's mm-hmm. great. Yeah. Yeah, super cool. So can you describe some of the dishes that you make?
Yeah, so Asha mentioned our Sukuma stew. It is our signature. So what we sell at Vancouver Farmers Markets is a stew that you can find in a jar that has red lentils, collard greens, potatoes, tomatoes, and it's in our signature Kenyan spice blend. So it's familiar foods, but it also has a different taste that is inspired by, you know, the rich flavors of Kenyan foods, and it has a warming flavor. So when we kind of introduce it to the market, people are like, what is it? What is this food? And when they try it, it's like, oh, it's familiar but different. And so that is our primary food option that we have at Vegan Supply.
Cool.
And we also do chapati flatbread, so a traditional Kenyan style flatbread, as well as mandazi, which is a donut that would be more of a street favorite donut that has infused with cardamom seeds. Super delicious.
It's like a sweet donut?
It's a sweet donut.
Oh, wow,
yeah,
wow.
Yeah. So it's not as sweet as a traditional donut, you know.
Yeah.
It has a kind of a cakier density, and but processed the same way as a donut. But
oh,
it's
gosh,
delicious.
I'm getting hungry.
Yeah, I know. We'll bring samples by.
Definitely. Yeah, that sounds amazing. I'll have to come by and try it one of these days. I'd love to hear about your vegan journey, each of you. How long have you been vegan, and what brought you to it? Asha, let's start with you.
Yes. So this has been an ongoing transition and a long journey. So I would say the starting point for me would have been about 6 years ago. And it's a feeling of, you know, and I think we've all been there, that, mm-hmm. that unsettling feeling of what we're consuming. And I think my body was warning me, but it was a lot on my mind, and I didn't feel good. So that went on for 2 years. I think at that period, I was not prepared in terms of what I needed to feel my body. And so 2 years ago, kind of Jess and I, you know, and this is what our brand is all about, and this is where our starting point mm-hmm. was, and we both really felt the same way. And so we started our journey 2 years ago with eliminating step by step. And I would say, for me personally, the change was supported by my brother-in-law, who is a strong advocate and has been involved in organizations like PETA, and my mother-in-law, who has been a vegan for a very long time. And so I think that eye-opening of taking, I love cooking. It's been something that I've done for a long time. Being able to, you know, provide and be able to actually feed them when we had family holidays was an eye-opener of what I could eat and how amazing vegan food, plant-based food is.
Right.
And so that's the starting point. And a year ago, I would say officially, just confidently can say that we change our lifestyle, not just the foods as well.
Right. Awesome.
And so, yeah. And then Kula was born after, shortly after.
Yeah. Wow, super cool. Yeah. And how about you, Jess? It was kind of a similar...
Oh, similar. It definitely has relation to our family and just feeling that there needed to be a change. Mine started about 5 years ago. My mom was diagnosed with stage 3 breast cancer.
Wow.
And so I was her primary caregiver, and I really had to find ways to adjust her diet through chemo and radiation therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And what I realized was the foods that had chemicals and that were just processed in such a bad way, you know, foods that even carried diseases from where they were being processed to your plate were really bad for people who had a lower immune system. And
yeah.
So I started making foods that were specialized to her, and then realized that you know, plant-based was the way to go, was actually the healthiest option. And so that kind of opened my eyes to the way of cooking and cooking differently, and getting excited about making different foods that were flavorful and that our family liked to eat, that didn't have anything that would impact my mom.
Okay.
And from there, we noticed a huge change in our physical appearance, as well as how we digested food, as well as what made her feel good during that time that is really stressful on the body.
Right.
Yeah, and so from there, I started kind of taking this on more of myself and taking foods out of my diet. I also have autoimmune issue with digesting proteins, which is really funny.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe it's more natural. My body's like, yes, this is the way you need to go.
Right.
But it was definitely a journey, and it was a pretty cool journey to see that it wasn't something that happened overnight. It was listening to your body, listening to your family,
mm-hmm.
And exploring and finding the options there, and it just became something so natural. So yeah, a year and a half ago when me and Ashley were like, yeah, we can, this is something that's natural to us anyways, and it's become just so easy doing that.
Yeah, that's rad. So I'm curious actually how you two connected. Have you known each other a long time or
no. But yes, like Asha is my family, you know. I think we've known each other like maybe like almost three years, and we connected in our building. Community. So
yeah.
We connected in our building, and it was a really funny story through my ex-partner, and we were like, hey, she's the only other black girl in the building.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, it was again a connection of, you know, likeness, and we started talking that way, and
I think we just started having dinner together,
yeah.
And you know, became each other's family. As
yeah,
well.
She was two floors above. Yeah. We'd run up the stairwell and be like, "Hey,
yeah.
Do you want breakfast?"
Wow.
I think I was when I met you. I was pregnant.
Yeah.
And we were about to have a shower, and I was like, "Hey, you gotta come to my shower!"
And then that was like 3 days later, and I was so excited,
yeah.
And it just kind of it was not precise.
Oh, that's so lovely! Wow, that's so nice. And then you started.
And then
business.
We started a business.
Yeah,
partners.
Cool.
Yeah.
Oh, amazing. So yeah, I'm wondering, well, we kind of covered when you started Kula. You said it was about a year and a half.
I would say that the launch was actually this year. May is our official.
Sure.
We started planning about just over a year ago.
Oh, cool.
And had our official launch May 1st.
Oh,
May 1st, yeah.
Yeah. Super recently. Okay,
yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So is there anything else you want to say about the inspiration behind it? Like, was there...
Yeah, I should have said Kula actually means eat in Swahili. You know, that is really the... why we chose the name, but it also means community and bringing people together over food.
Yeah.
So I think that's where we put the emphasis on of why we're doing this is making food accessible for everyone. It's
awesome.
Food culturally, it's food designed for sharing, so you usually have all your food laid out and you're passing it around, and so community, obviously eating, fellowshipping over food, and really making food accessible for everyone that is inspired by both of our heritages.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's super cool. So how have you found the response so far, like at the markets and at the pop-ups and stuff?
Oh, super cool.
Yeah.
I think what we bring to the table is the flavors.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a lot of excitement around that, and being able, we get a lot of questions like, what's Afro-vegan?
Yeah, yeah.
So lots of great conversations happen around that. But it's been, our community has embraced it. And I think based on where we started, it was the right area, and it attracted the type of market that we're going after, in particular with our products, and we can be ourselves and, you know, tell our true story, and I think it's been, again, full support.
Mm-hmm.
And we're very lucky for that.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, that's wonderful. So yeah, I'm wondering about you said it's, I mean, because of your specific heritage, you have Kenyan and Jamaican food and you're kind of combining those. Did you find that a lot of those dishes were easy to veganize, or were there a lot of traditional dishes that are already vegan friendly, or did you have to make a lot of adjustments, or how is that whole process?
I actually love that question because it speaks to what Afro-vegan is. Mm-hmm. And it's, although it's new to people, it's not new. You know, this is something that, you know, Ital food and the foods in, you know, from where I grew up in northern Kenya, we ate a lot of plants and very whole foods. Mm-hmm. And so not so processed, quite healthy, filling, delicious. And it was so much easier for us. And, you know, there are a few things that we needed to tweak and make it our flavor. But I wouldn't say it was difficult. We love that we're able to share that. And the great thing is we're also meeting a lot of people that some of our community members. When we say community, it's our support system. And so I think we're attracting the same people around us and who are in the industry and are advocating, you know, vegan lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And you know, and so, like meeting someone from Kenya. Right. You know, we have our friend like Dora, who also is from Kenya, and we find that an easy transition. And we're able to share it easily.
And I think the food, and there's like kind of a bit of a myth with foods that have African descent that they are, you know, heavily saturated in fats or sugars, and it's I wouldn't say it's a necessarily a negative thing, but there is a spin of making Afro-vegan food known and what that is. And like Asha was mentioning, there's so many options that are just inherently vegan, and the luxury of having or the non-luxury of having some of the accessibility to, you know, animal products wasn't in the culturally accessible necessary. So you made the foods that are deeply rooted in the history were made plant-based because that's what we had. They're called staples. They were like filling, highly nutritious, got you going for the day, and could be stored without being harmful to your body. So they're all naturally fully plant-based. So that was really exciting to be able to bring that to the table. And when people try our foods, like, it's so flavorful and filling. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So you mentioned Ital food, right?
Ital.
Yeah. And that's a Rastafarian thing, right? Can you explain that for our listeners, like what that entails?
I think it's just an understanding of that we do not need animal products and to be a part of our diets, and respecting kind of the oneness of how we were created in creation. It's like there's the animals, there's us. We don't need that to be something that is crossing that line. And it's a bit of a barrier that they put in place as a culture, as well as there's a religious aspect to it in the Caribbean and the West Indies. But yeah, Ital foods are is pretty much a way of saying the foods that are vital to our bodies. Again, cultural and religious, like there's, you take out the V, but it's a vital food. So foods that are going to make us stronger and be able to support love and health, and it's going to be good for our bodies.
That's amazing. There's already like such a strong tradition there, so that's super awesome. And how have you found, just in general, like running a small vegan business in Vancouver, have there been any particular challenges or benefits, or was it hard to get it started?
I think we saw a lot of benefits being in this region. We have plant forward people here more than I would say other places in Canada in particular. I think that was an advantage for sure. And I'm sure there'll be more challenges as we face, but it's been embraced well. And I think it's the differentiator with us is the flavor. We're bringing that new flavor or existing flavor that's not necessarily accessible. And I think, you know, one thing we really focused on is our story. To ensure that we are able to, you know, educate and share what it is and what you're consuming, what the story is behind us as well as our product. But yeah, no, loving it. It's been an advantage, I would say, being in Vancouver.
Awesome. Yeah, because I think that, I mean, I was trying to think about anything similar that's been done here before, and I can't really think of anything. I mean, there's
I don't know, there's like Ethiopian restaurants that have a lot of vegan options, right, and that sort of thing, but yes, I can't think of anything, you know, specifically like what you're doing. So
yeah, I think that's super exciting for us when we were discussing this in the infancy of, like, I think this is new. Again, not a new African or African descent vegan food, not new, but yeah, bringing it to the marketplace and the way that we're doing is totally new.
For sure. Yeah.
Focusing on community, focusing on the benefit of food, educating people, and being a tight-knit group of people, because the vegan community here is so strong and so amazing. Yeah. And that's what it's all about. So we, as a small business, we were so embraced by other businesses. No competition. It was just like, let me help you. Let's team together. Let's talk. Let's collaborate. Yeah. Everyone wants to just be a friend to us, and they are friends to us. So it's just been really such a positive experience that we weren't even expecting. So,
Yeah, that's really nice to hear. That's awesome. What advice would you offer to other vegan entrepreneurs who are just starting out?
I would say be authentic. The market that's purchasing a plant-based, and you know, we hope to grow that as much as possible. I hope everyone switch to plant-based diet.
Yeah, yeah,
is, you know, we want to know where the food comes from, why you're doing it, and I think, you know, you can sense when someone is being authentic, mm-hmm, to their brand. And so focus on that. Don't be afraid to share ideas and build, you know, community pretty much helps you through it, and there is, again, a place as an example with us. So embrace that, and you know, like, don't look so much at a competition versus, you know, what is it, and how of what value does your brand and your products speak to you,
mm-hmm,
and people gravitate to it. So mm-hmm, be authentic, as you know, just be authentic.
Yeah,
yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
What about you, Jess? Anything to add?
Yeah, I think, yeah, authenticity, being, considering ourselves as being like pioneers, mm-hmm, in something that hasn't necessarily happened before, and knowing that there are going to be eyes on us, but being able to kind of lead the way, uh-huh, and give people that option of foods that are accessible to them, and being leaders in our community, that's really something that just to kind of own that. And sometimes it can come with a little bit of insecurity, like, oh, are people gonna like this? But you're like, no, I'm gonna own this. I'm gonna be a pioneer, yeah, and I know that people are going to follow because I'm opening up a pathway that may have not been open before.
Right.
Yeah, and don't be afraid. Just do it.
Yeah, really.
Just do it.
That's good. That's good advice. What do you like best about being vegan in Vancouver in general?
Options.
Yeah.
I think we have, we are very lucky to have the ability, you know, to access not only the foods, but products that speak to what we believe in and what, mm-hmm, we'd like to consume.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up in Toronto for 20 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and definitely, like, I've seen some changes now.
Yeah.
But I would say Vancouver has the, you know, the right mindset, and, mm-hmm, and we're in the right direction.
Yeah.
Lots of opportunities, of course, still. But I feel like I could really live my lifestyle here.
Cool.
Yeah. As I like.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think for me, growing up in Vancouver and not being always vegan myself, I have a lot of friends that I get to cook for.
Yeah.
And it's so, I love it. It just warms my heart when they're like, this is vegan.
Yeah. That's the best feeling.
Yeah. Yes. And yeah, it's experience. Yeah. It's so cool. And I've had so many friends who just have never had the ability to try it before. And they get so excited that everything that they're eating is vegan, and they can't believe it. I'm blowing their minds with the options they have there.
Yeah.
And or having a full, I think I did a Thanksgiving meal last year that was fully vegan for my family.
Oh.
And they all came to my place, and they're, you know, making fun. But, you know, since that, you know, my brother has become a plant-based high performance athlete.
No way.
Yeah, I won't say it came from that meal, but it's just it's showing that, you know, you can have the same experience with food and family traditions, and
be an athlete.
And be an athlete.
Right? Yeah.
So that's been really cool, getting to kind of go into my community existing before that weren't plant-based, to show them that there are so many cool places to buy food, yeah. ways to eat your food, mm-hmm. to consume, and to share.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's awesome. Do either of you have any favorite local places to eat, like around here?
Oh, tons.
Yeah. Oh, I know, we're pretty lucky.
Yeah, so lucky. Juice truck, yeah, we have meat, chickpea.
Yeah.
Yeah, chickpea. Hey, yeah. Kokomo.
Hey, Kokomo.
I haven't tried that one yet.
Really so good. Things, yeah, so they're good. Really, really delicious. Cool. And then a lot of local food producers. So, Yogu.
Yogurt.
Oh, yeah.
Probiotics.
High probiotics and are, like, pharmaceutical grade probiotics that help heal your gut, and that's kind of all what I'm about with this autoimmune issue I have. But yeah, such an amazing woman who started that business.
Is her yogurt is coconut based?
Yeah. So super cool food producers who are
to die for.
To die for.
Dipto, cardams, like you know that those options are
so many good donuts.
So many good donuts.
Problem.
Big problem for us. But we also like we're in a commissary kitchen with a lot of vegan food producers and are plant based, and so it's just like. The options are just endless.
Is that how you know David Isbister? Are you in the same kitchen?
We've worked a few events together actually.
Oh, okay.
As vendors.
Yeah, and we always see him around. Yeah. And kind of across the street where our commissaries are close by.
Oh,
so
right.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Yeah, you mentioned you lived in Toronto, and I love Toronto every time I go there. There's, like, so much good food there. But Vancouver's really catching up, though, I feel. Yeah.
Seriously.
You know, new places opening all the time. And, yeah, like you said, small businesses making vegan food, so they're distributing to the stores, and so that's super nice. And, yeah, what would you say you like best about just being vegan in general? I don't know.
I think, so right now I'm 7 months pregnant.
Yeah.
And it's my first official vegan pregnancy, and I have to say it's been the best. You know, I feel a lot healthier, and, you know, my protein level has never been so good.
Wow.
So whenever I hear someone say, oh, you don't get enough protein, well, guess what? Actually, I get more protein, way more options that are healthier, and my iron level is much higher, and that's key for, you know, carrying out a successful and healthy pregnancy.
Absolutely.
I love not feeling... I just feel cleared. I feel like I'm doing the right thing.
Yeah.
And you can enjoy your meal guilt-free.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I think it's also a lot more thoughtful. Mm-hmm. Like being thoughtful beyond, you know, when we're talking about sustainability, you know, as I'm eating my breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks, I'm actually making a positive impact. And then on top of that, having a company that supports that further, it is really, it's such a great feeling.
I would say like energy for me, it's huge. Having a autoimmune disease that affects my digestion, I found that when I wasn't having a full vegan lifestyle, there would still be foods. I'm like, why am I still not feeling well? Whereas committing to having a vegan diet, I don't have to worry about it at all.
Wow.
It's just so effortless for me. So having the energy, having our gut being the second brain to our body, it helps with your energy. It helps with the way you think. You're clear. You can recover from, you know, athletics faster. You just have more energy. Your body repairs itself when you have injuries. It's just working at its highest and best potential. So I find that just I feel so much better.
Cool.
And then from like a vein point of view, your skin's great. Yeah. Your hair is good.
Right. I know, it doesn't hurt.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt.
No, not at all. But I think, you know, we're both animal lovers. We both have our dog, and my dog's name's Data.
Uzo.
And it's like, it's my family. And so I'm like, I feel so good knowing that, you know, my family here is really honored and respected. And so, again, coming from, you know, northern Kenya, where consuming animal was vital at that period of time, it's no longer necessary. And so knowing that I'm doing that right thing, just kind of bring it back to that, is probably the best feeling.
There's a peace of mind.
It's
making me, you're making me think of this what's that famous quote? I want to say it was Kafka who said it. He said something like like to an animal, to a chicken or something. So now I can finally look at you. I don't eat you anymore.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, you just have that sort of, peace of mind.
Absolutely.
I definitely felt that too when I made the switch. Yeah. So, anything exciting on the horizon for Kula? You have any events coming up or...
Yeah, we're actually going to be at Youth Unlimited on November the 3rd at the Imperial. They're still selling tickets, but we're going to be giving away some of our signature foods at the event. That is such a good event. It's supporting youth who are, you know, marginalized in society or have barriers to, you know, maybe employment or suffering from mental health, but it's just an event to raise money to further expand the initiative to get kids proactive help or while they're in a situation, the help that they need. And yeah, we're so honored to be a part of that. We're also going to be continuing at the Vancouver Farmers Market. I think we have book that just came out, plant-based foodie.
We are very lucky to be one of 27 vendors that are in there, and so we have one recipe that we've actually shared. And so Brad Hill reached out, and so we're working with Vancouver Farmers Market, and proceeds of book sales through Vancouver Market, which we that's what we represent, will be going to supporting families who are in need, you know, and access to food.
That's right. So the book is called Plant-Based Foodie, right?
Plant-Based Vancouver.
Oh, right.
Foodie, yeah. Sorry, Plant-Based Foodie Vancouver.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Super excited.
Yeah, that's super exciting.
Yeah. And we're just looking at, you know, new products that we will be introducing through winter and getting more of our food into our customers' homes.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Can you give us a... sneak peek, or is it a secret right now?
Could be prep. It could be
collaborating with awesome people to just make it. We had such a huge demand for some of our foods, so making it more accessible and might be delivered to your house.
Oh, wow.
Stay tuned.
Super cool. Super cool. So what is your vision for the company ultimately? Like, kind of where do you see it going in the future?
So, you know, we're at an infancy place right now, and both Jess and I are going back to the root of our inspiration next year to Kenya. And so our goal is to really, you know, create that accessibility internationally. And, you know, not to say this is exactly what it is, but we want to really connect to that and agriculturally to Kenya starting off. And we just visualize more of a social enterprise in the long run, because we are so so lucky to have the platform to be able to do that. And so yeah, very exciting, and lots to explore there to see how we can impact, you know, positively plant-based internationally.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And giving jobs too, I think, for us, like working with farmers and female entrepreneurs in Kenya and to just, you know, elevate them and empower them to do something they've done their whole lives for generations, but introduce a global platform for them to sell their goods. So yeah, I think it's doing things holistically, and not just you know, what can we get, but how can we further give back to our community, or and make it be a life cycle thing. So employment with sustainability, with good foods, and just kind of be this beautiful cycle of just giving and loving.
That sounds amazing. I'm so excited to see what's on the horizon for you, too.
Thank you.
Well, we are coming to the end of our time. Thank you both so much for being here. I've been speaking with Jessica Fife and Asha Wielden of Kula Foods. If you'd like to learn more about their company and everything that they do, you can visit them at kulafoods.ca. Connect with them on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all the things. Thank you both so much.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Animal Voices here on 100.5 FM, Vancouver Co-op Radio in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, unceded Coast Salish territories. Please join us here next Friday, October 19th at noon. Next week's show will feature an interview with prison justice advocate Calvin Neufeld of the organization Evolve Our Prison Farms. And once again, today's show was brought to you by Edible Planet, a Vancouver-based education campaign and TV series designed to teach people about the world's most powerful edible plants.
plants and the fascinating people who bring them to market. Food is the world's most powerful tool to share the wealth, help chronic illness, regreen the planet, and create lasting world peace today. Now is the time for a plant-based economy, because on this big, beautiful, edible planet, the food we eat can change the world. We here at Animal Voices want to connect with you online. Visit our website at animalvoices.org, where you can stream past shows or download them as podcasts. You can also see our show blog there with detailed links and subscribe to us on iTunes. Stay in touch with us on Facebook, facebook.com/animalvoicesvancouver, and on Twitter at animalvoicesyvr. And now we'll leave you with a song. This is the Kenyan Boys Choir with Jumbo Buana. Stay tuned for Radio EcoShock with Alex Smith. Thank you for listening to Animal Voices today, and remember to be kind to the animals.
Nzuri sana
wageni wetu,
wageni wakaribishwa Kenya yetu, hakuna matata.
Kenya nchi nzuri,
hakuna matata.
Tena nchi ya kupendeza,
hakuna matata.
Nchi yenye amani,
hakuna matata.
Tena nchi yenye umoja,
hakuna matata.
Kenya nchi nzuri,
hakuna matata.
Tena nchi yenye amani,
hakuna matata.
Nchi yenye wanyama
wengi, hakuna matata.
Tena nchi yenye umoja,
hakuna matata.
Sema jambo,
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 jambo bwana.
Habari
gani?
Nzuri
sana.
Wageni wetu,
wageni, wageni,
wakaribishwa,
wakaribishwa Kenya yetu, hakuna matata. Kenya yetu, hakuna matata.